From Studio 65 on the Sens Underground Network, welcome to episode 25 of the Sens Call-Ups for Thursday, May 16th, 2013. I'm Cardinal, and Canuck, Pan, and I are here to talk about round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Round two. I really like the sound of that. I wouldn't have believed it in mid-February, but here we are. Sens fans didn't get the start to the series we were hoping for, but game two, tomorrow, is the time for the Sens to bounce back, to push back, to hit back, and even the series before it heads to Ottawa this weekend. Pan, how many games are you going to?
Well, I go to all the home games.
Ah, luxury.
I've got... when is it? Sunday, Wednesday?
You're obviously really looking forward to them.
Well, I've thought the last 3 days in a row have been Friday, so I haven't really decided if I'll show up to work or not.
Oh, okay.
It's just nuts.
I'm going Sunday.
And you're going Sunday as well. Cool. Oh, then you better represent well. Because there may be a lot of Penguins fans around. I don't think they're probably too bad, but...
I don't care about those flightless birds.
Just roll this on them.
Yeah, because I got Canuck the tickets there, so I have a little bit of a pre-sale thing. There, well, granted, Canuck, you're probably going to get buried in there. There's only four sections left with tickets.
What do you mean I'm going to get buried in there?
But there are a lot of Penguins fans here in Ottawa. But I guess if the game sold out before we...
Yeah.
Do you know who we were playing by then?
A lot of it's the season's ticket holders.
Yeah.
So as an example, like I've got my half season. There's the people that have their seats all the time. I've got mine for half the games. And some other guys have my seats for the other half. So what happens is that this year I'm getting my tickets or my seats for the whole playoffs. So they got put somewhere else. And then you got everyone with like the flex packs. So whoever wants in on it, which is why it's so difficult to get playoff tickets. But yet during the season, it looks so empty.
Because that's a big customer base who only have sort of part-time season tickets. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. I'll be looking forward to hearing about it. I won't be at any of them. I'll be listening or watching, but I won't be actually at any of them.
Going fishing again?
I'm going fishing. Yes, I am. I'm looking forward to it.
I seriously
I'll have some fishing stories for you. I believe we've already covered this, but yes, I'd rather go fishing than go to a hockey game.
Yeah,
because fishing is a weekend. A hockey game is 2 hours.
And you host a hockey podcast.
I'll be listening to the hockey game.
Well, I'm pretty sure if we got paid for these things, it'd be a little different.
That would be different. But, you know, a hockey game is 2 hours out of the weekend, and I'm going fishing for 4 days.
No wonder those guys quit after 7 years.
We're wising up to that now, aren't we? Anyway, let's get this going. We got one game recap to get to, but there's also lots of other stuff to be talking about.
Yep. All right. Game on!
Tuesday, May 14th, Senators at the Penguins. Pan, you're up.
Yeah, this game's a little sad. Anyway, so it starts off, and I've always been riled up in regards to the CBC pregame show. Luckily, this time, though, I actually fell asleep, and I've been taking
Coronation Street, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, you were losing your mind over
it. I turned it on half an hour before the game. It's Coronation Street.
It's like, no, it's a 7:30 start. You're fine.
Oh, okay.
Like, oh. Anyway, so at one point I think I wake up around 15 minutes before, and when I wake up, all I hear is Ron McLean say, "How about that, Ottawa? Matt Cook and Jerome Iginla." Like, thanks.
What's the significance of Jerome Iginla?
I don't know. But Matt Cook, like, you're really going to show off Matt Cook? You're just being a dick.
It's the Toronto middle finger to Ottawa because that's all they can do because Toronto is playing golf and we're playing hockey. Simple as that.
It's just ridiculous. Actually, I'll touch on that too. Anyways, the game starts. Andy and Vokunin. Man, he's like a pinball machine there, right? Vokun, not a strong game. Anyway, Smith line to start. Cassian can keep up with Crosby. That's fantastic. We're not going to see much of him anymore. Gonchar and Phillips were put together. That actually was a really, really good shutdown pair. The disadvantage to that was that it left Cowan and Greiba together as a third pairing, and we'll definitely get into that. Early penalty to Tris on a medium high stick, or 2 minutes for playing against the Penguins. I'm not sure which penalty it was. Paul Martin's shot from the point opens up the scoring. Greening ties it up quickly with a big dig in the crease there.
And can the power play even be stopped?
No.
I'm getting upset. Like, friggin' stupid, dumb penalties. Questionable.
Yeah. So, it's, well, it is what it is.
Sorry, go on.
No, that's fine. Yeah, so Martin shot there. Greening ties it up. Pageau with a hell of a lot of work in on the boards. He really deserves a lot of credit for that goal there. Fourth line was Greening, Pageau, and Condra. I was thinking about this. The fourth line today would be the second line 2 years ago.
Healy really had it. Glenn Healy had a really big problem with Ottawa putting out their fourth line all the time. You notice that?
No.
I mean, I know we try to tune him out, but every time Ottawa put out their fourth line.
The CBC tried to tune him out, too.
Yeah. It's just, he's like, I don't understand it. Why are they putting their fourth line out against Penguins top line? You don't do that. And you ever notice this?
No. I didn't notice it, but thanks for bringing that up. Okay. Don't you normally put, does that be a shutdown line?
I don't understand, Healy. I think he's just looking for something to criticize Ottawa on.
Just anything, man. This guy, why? Well, granted, I think Kelly Rudy probably lives in Calgary or something like that now. He was good. Kelly Rudy behind the mask was fantastic. Now you get this guy. I don't know. Drives me nuts. Anyways, so Malkin nets it after Neil picks up a Cowan screw up behind the net. That was a little embarrassing. Kennedy cross checks Silverberg in a high pressure spot. Takes a penalty. Takes a penalty there. Soft dive by Kennedy on a grab a hold, but Condra gets tripped on a shorthanded rush and Malkin goes off to make it 4-on-4. Second period, now Phillips and Grab are put together and Gonch and Cowan are also paired up, which was a little bit smoother, I think. Malkin face washed to Conacher and gets called for it. My note here is just Vokun is not good. I don't really know what I was stipulating at, but I'm pretty sure that's accurate.
So, I think at this point is probably where I caught up live, because somewhere's in the second period, and maybe I can just tell you my dumb experience with this game. So I told you, and you're wondering what was going on. So I had to tape delay the game because I had to go to practice. And
practice?
Practice. Yeah. And so I had it on PVR. And I'm going there. I'm actually wearing my jersey. And one of the guys next to me is a Penguins fan, but he's not watching the game either. So, you know, it's all fine. Afterwards, he even said to me, so, you know, you could check out the score. Like, no, I'm not watching. I'm going to watch it when I get home. And so.
I know where this is going.
So, fine, I'm all leaving. And, you know, we're all as a family here. So I go out to the car. He ends up telling, I don't think he understood, because he's not a jerk this way, but I don't think he understood. He told my son what the score was. He says, hey, go tell your dad it's 2, or, you know, he said the score. So my son comes in the car, and
you kidding me?
Dad is like, hey, I know what the score is. I'm like, I don't want to know. He says, but I know what, it's about hockey. I don't want to know. I want to know 3 or 4 times. Try stopping a 7-year-old, right? But I got him. I stopped him.
Oh,
so
you did? Okay.
So we get home. My mother-in-law's there. And she was joking earlier that I'm going to tell you the score when you come in. And so, but she kind of made that, I'm going to guess what the score is, but she was joking with me. But at this point, my son couldn't contain it. It's 2-1. And damn you. I didn't know who for, but of course, when I start watching the thing,
that so becomes evident.
1-1, okay. 1-1, I'm like, oh, jeez. 2-1, sure enough, that's the end of the first period. And then I'm starting to catch up in the second period, and the DVR is full.
Ah,
so oh, I had to zoom to live. I lost most of the second period. So,
oh, jeez.
Anyway, that's what I was saying. I was having a foobar kind of night.
Damn you, Big Bang Theory. Why do you keep loading up my thing?
Darn kids recording Pokemon.
Oh, really?
Stupidest show ever.
It's made somebody a lot of money. Anyway, let's get back to the game.
Yeah, oh, sorry. We're talking hockey. Where are we?
Hey, listen, we got time to fill. We only got one game. Conacher. Okay, Conacher. This is going to be something. Conacher. I wasn't happy with him this game.
He's a little too pesky sometimes.
Yep. Slash on Orpik cross checks him to the face. No call. Well, you can't really blame Conacher on that one. Grab a collides with Orpik. Leaves a period. Well, leaves a game. Thanks, Dave. Good edit. Dave. Pan. Not Dave. Pan. Yeah, so that was a big hit. Should that be a two-game suspension?
Well, no. You want to talk about that now?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
No. Next.
Okay. I don't think it should be a two-game suspension.
Shouldn't be a
good thing. But I don't even think it should be a one-game suspension. But
incidental contact.
It's incidental contact, but
yeah,
there was an injury resulting from it.
No, Graba turned into him. It's like bumping into someone just going at high speed. Well, grabbing Orpik, going as quickly as you can.
That's two freight trains hitting each other.
Yeah.
What was the principal point of contact?
Apparently, that doesn't matter.
Well, oh? Well, it doesn't matter.
We'll touch on that later.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, I don't have a problem with no call at all. They just kind of turned and bumped into each other, in my opinion. Bad situation.
I don't know. I guess I look at it in the sense of Graba got suspended for two games for a clean hit that had a bad result. Well, this was a clean hit that resulted in an injury. What's the difference? And I'm not advocating that it should be a suspension. What I'm saying is the reasoning given for the Graba suspension was unbelievable, like a dump truck full of malarkey. But we're not going to use the same rules and we're not going to set the same standards on this one because Graba wasn't bleeding.
Right. And it's Graba.
Oh, and he's a repeat offender.
And it's Ottawa.
Yeah.
No,
enough. Enough.
I think the Emlyn one was different just because he wore a Habs jersey.
And he bled.
Yeah.
It's typical. Montreal typical.
Thank you.
Not going to get to use that for a while, so.
No, I might have to edit it for a different city, though. You never know. All right. As you were.
Well, with Pittsburgh, yeah.
Pittsburgh anyways, typical.
So that is what it is. Connor Kerr gets a call, and Kunitz capitalizes on the power play there.
Connor, stay out of the box.
EK snags it on the goal line close to the end of the period with a great defensive play.
Oh, yeah, that was Norris Trophy worthy. Anyway, moving on.
I don't even remember people talking about PK's defensive play anyway. Just saying, it was a big deal last year. This year, no.
Pittsburgh.
Well, that would be Montreal typical, but that's okay.
Anyway, third period. Third period. This.
Oh, we're going off the rails here, folks.
I gained summaries. Okay. Sens take over the third early with a good amount of pressure. Connor Kerr trips up Letang. Letang for diving 4-on-4.
Is it over yet?
Yeah, pretty much. Enough for Connor Kerr. Too much running around and hurting the team, in my opinion. Just don't take dumb penalties against this team.
Don't take any against this team.
No. Dupree catches fourth shorthanded goal, and EK gets dumped on, especially by Healy, for taking a long shift. But Phaneuf will get praised for playing two minute long shift in the D zone.
Well, he'll get praised for it, but it'll be his get out of jail free card for the pinch in game 6. Like he was tired. That's why he made that. He was tired. That's probably why he made that stupid hit that he missed on. And then Boston scored in overtime in game six.
Like the elite players, like the Carlsons and the Gonchars and the Ovechkins, they play the full power play. Always.
It's their gig.
And because you're the point, you're not really using that much energy. That's not a bad play. Now, if you're a defenseman playing 2 minutes in your own zone,
that's back motion. Big difference.
So why are you crapping on Carlson? Again, he got beat on it, but whatever. It happens, especially against a team like Pittsburgh. But for enough, it's okay.
Well, it's because it's Carlson. He plays for Ottawa. And it's Glenn Healy. Case closed.
One trick pony.
Yep. Better than a no-trick donkey. Still love that line.
That was awesome. I love that one. Anyways, my opinion could have been a winnable game. And good thing it's a seven-game series. Pittsburgh.
Ottawa actually gave them a couple goals. I mean, Pittsburgh deserved to win, but there's that one. I think it was Cowan behind the net. Cowan gave it up. And then didn't cover Malkin. That was a hard one.
I think that was one of my tweets, too. It was like, Cowan, that game looked like Phillips of 09.
Yeah.
When he'd always clear it from behind the net into the middle of the ice, and then the other team would just score on the play. It was embarrassing. I've never seen Cowan play that bad.
So, after the game.
Won't see it again.
Twitter was fun, though.
After the game, though, we had some interesting commentary from Grapes, right? You guys didn't hear this?
I don't remember it.
What are you referring to?
Don Cherry after the game?
I might have been too angry.
I probably heard it, but I'm not sure where you're going with this, so go ahead.
He apparently was talking about Alfredson wearing a headband.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. Considering this is the guy who shows up in what looks like either a set of drapes from my grandmother's house or one of her couch covers. Made into a suit. Actually, it could be a seat from a 1967 Volkswagen that he's made into a seat. And he's known to show up in wigs and all sorts of stuff. So for him to call somebody out for wearing a hairband because his hair is long.
Hey, Don Cherry. Ultimate troll.
It's ridiculous. Well,
he thinks he's being funny with his trolls, as opposed to Healy, who's just being a douche. I had to self-censor several of the things that were right to come out of my mouth.
If you want, we can just put in like a horn in there. Just for you to struggle with the self-censor, it shows me how much you don't like Healy.
Not that much.
Oh, is that, and also after the clip of just like, look at these three Swedes just talking on the bench. It's like, well, yes, teammates talk and coordinate plays.
Look at the hair on the Penguins team, buddy.
Yeah.
Like how about Chris Letang?
Chris Letang.
He looked like Cousin It during the national anthems.
Yeah, it's just anyway.
Fleury has long hair too, doesn't he?
Yeah. Anyways, well, Colonel, we'll excuse you from this one, but
don't you
miss the option of having hair like that?
Nope.
No? All right, I do. But I've just kind of reversed it now.
I can grow my hair out long if I want to, but then I get told to trim my ear hair, so whatever.
Trombone yourself. Oh, no.
Well, I'm coming with both of you, and I think that the Sens actually played an awful lot of this game very well. Like most of the second period was a pretty competitive game, and what really cost the Senators in this game was the fact that they were in the box too much against a really strong power play, and we didn't capitalize on our power play at all.
Yeah, but that's normal for us.
True, but when you're going up against a power play this good. You have to stay out of the box, and you have to take, when you get the opportunity, you got to do something. I mean, the pucks have to hit the net. Not, oh, well, we were around the perimeter and then it got broken up because I was looking for the perfect seam. And there needs to be somebody in front of the net. So I'd say the adjustments need to be, don't take so many penalties, but also get somebody in front of the net on a power play.
Should we put Regan in for that one goal against Pittsburgh and then pull him? You remember this? It was game two, a couple of seasons ago. The last time we played Pittsburgh.
And he had like 5 minutes of ice time and just scored one goal?
Yeah.
Then back to the bench?
Yeah, why not?
Did he at least get to play the rest of the game?
Or like, no, I think so.
Oh, I know you're not going to get a second.
Yeah. Thank you, but now we know what your line won't be out there again.
That's kind of like in the D2 movie when they put the girl goalie in for the shootout. There you go. Here's your one shot. No.
Anyway, I think they'll be all right. I don't think this is, I'm getting really sick of the Toronto media-centric.
Ooh, I missed it. That just cost me $20 too. Sends money on the board. Actually, Radek Bonk's mullet's getting sent down to the Sunday game. Hopefully,
they're bringing him up here. I think that's very cool.
Yeah. So I saw the theme to Coach's Corner start. I was like, you know what? Screw this. So I tweeted out $20 if Cherry talks about the Leafs.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, that cost me $20.
That's a gimme. You might as well have just said, here, I'm just going to give you $20 if the Coach's Corner comes on. It would have been about the same thing.
Guys, it's over. But anyway, that's aggravating.
Anyway.
Well, Toronto. We're going to go there?
I was going to say, there were a couple other things I want to talk about Ottawa first, but we'll get to Toronto in just a couple of minutes. I promise. Easy.
Right.
What do you think the bets are that Spezza appears in game 3?
Yeah, he's back.
What about tomorrow?
No.
You don't think they'll fly him down there tomorrow?
No, he would have gone today.
Oh, that's true. He would have gone today. Well, maybe he's going down by car or by train or something. Eugene's private plane.
No, I don't think so. I think that might screw up with the teams enough.
So Sunday though?
Yeah. If things go real bad, which they might, I'm hoping for a split. If you get a split, there's going to be a series.
Yeah.
If you lose tomorrow, it's pretty much over. There's not a chance we can go 4-2 against Pittsburgh.
Writing down this time slot is for future sound clip. Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same way. I don't think he'll be there tomorrow, but I wouldn't at all be surprised to see him on Sunday or hear him because I'll be listening to it on the radio, but not at all. One quick thing before we go over to the Leafs. Last week I mentioned Troy Rutkowski, who's playing for Portland. Portland won the Western Hockey League and they're off to the Memorial Cup. And I think he's our only prospect playing in the Memorial Cup.
Yep. But
one other little, I did a little bit more digging on him. He was the number 2 ranked defenseman in scoring in the entire WHL this season.
He really would have done well in Colorado.
Well, think about him and Cody Ceci being rookies in Binghamton next season, along with whatever other players are going to be there. That's a lot. That's going to be firepower. They're going to be young. They're probably going to be there for a couple of years, but that's a lot of firepower to have, and a lot of young firepower to have down there. So it should be fun. Anyway, we want to talk about the Leafs.
Well, are the draft goalies going to be coming up? Or would you send them back as overagers?
I'm not sure where their birthdays fall. And I don't think we'd be bringing them both. I think we'd probably...
I think the one in Quebec's doing better, right?
But I think he's the younger of the two. I'd have to go back and look. I'm not sure. No, they both did really well. Dreider in Calgary made it to the Eastern Conference Final of the WHL. The Calgary Hitmen lost to the Edmonton Oil Kings.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I don't think you'd really want both of them up because then they're not going to get enough ice time, right?
Yeah, because he went further, actually. Quebec was out after, I think, the first round in the queue.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hard to say. But we'll see next year where the goalies end up. But there's going to be a lot of young talent in Binghamton next year, for sure. But Canuck wants to get to talk about the Leafs. All right, Canuck, you start. I'll just chime in later.
This is
going to be fun.
Well,
I'll introduce this because I was at 3 Brewers actually with my buddy who is a Leaf fan.
Oh, this is going to be rich, right on.
And there are like three or four guys on the side. So I was sitting at the bar on the front side, Canuck, where we went the other day. So I was sitting with my buddy there, and then there were three or four Leaf fans just around the other side of the bar. So it was quite an atmosphere for me.
Now, were you wearing any Sens gear, or you just...
No, I just went right after work.
Okay.
And you don't want to be the douchebag wearing the other jersey, right? Like, the Sens aren't playing that game. Why would you ever wear Sens stuff to a Boston-Toronto game?
To annoy your buddy. It's not about the rest of the crowd. It's about your buddy.
No, I know. But Idiot, right?
Yeah, well played.
Now, Canuck, your texts were kind of fun.
I was getting furious.
For someone who's so mild-mannered.
What? They were going up 2-1, 3-1, 4-1. I was... I can't even remember what I was tweeting or texting you guys, but I was upset. I was legit upset. I was angry.
Free ride to the final, which was what you're saying.
Yeah, I could see it all happening right now. They're getting by Boston. They're going to meet up with Washington or New York at that point. And there's pretty much I could see it, a free ride right to the third round.
5-0, so.
What's that?
Because the Rangers were winning their game 5-0 at the time, too, right?
So, okay, they're going up against the Rangers. And I just saw it. There they are. Look, they're getting into round two. They're probably going to round three. They got the easier matchup. We got the Pens. And you get into round three, maybe we even beat up Pittsburgh. But, you know, and then they get the easy beat up opponent. And, oh, I was furious. Boston had three chances to eliminate these guys, and they couldn't do it at this point. I was mad. So that was more mad than I was, you know, seeing Ottawa lose their first game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Colonel, did you watch this one?
I didn't.
I actually stopped watching at that point.
No, I didn't watch the entire game. And I wanted to know the outcome of it. But I'm so sick, and I can say this very honestly, I'm so sick of watching the Toronto Maple Leafs, I'm not interested in watching a Game 7 that they're involved in. I'm so sick of watching them, I'm not interested. So I didn't. I'm saying, okay, whatever. Not interested. I'll get the score updates, which I got a lot of them of. And I wasn't quite as animated as you were, Canuck, but I was like, okay, here we go. Wow, this is going to be quite something in Toronto. Oh, we want a round. We're going on to the next round. Give us the cup now. Plan the parade. Woo! Not so much. when I actually heard about the Patrice Bergeron goal that tied the game, I went, oh, okay. Because, I mean, I was catching the score as it was getting closer and closer. But when they actually tied it in the last minute, I went, this I might actually turn on and watch. Then I went,
nope. And I think I messaged him, like, you got to turn this on.
Yeah.
You just got to watch this.
So what were your Leaf friends doing next to you?
Shooters?
Yeah, it was not. They were just losing their minds. It was awesome. And then after the overtime goal, I tried to, like, you know how sometimes back in the day when you'd have a hard day, you come home and your mom just tries to make you feel better about yourself?
You didn't do that for them.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did?
Well, you know what? It's like, you guys have gone really far. This is what happens when you draft your own goalie instead of trying to sign one or trade for one. And now, even though you lost, because that was just an absolute disaster of a finish, you played really well for 58 minutes.
That's like a backhanded compliment, right?
Oh,
there.
Yeah. Yeah, just tear them apart.
I was going to say, they played well for 49 minutes. I wouldn't say 58.
those last two were just a disaster.
It's like peeling off, making sure the scab's always just picked off a little bit.
Oh,
right?
My That's God. Right. And they were just staring at me. It was just like, stop talking.
Why didn't CBC show the Air Canada Center square? Oh, on the Boston goals.
Phenomenal video that you sent.
You like that one?
I saw that. Yeah.
I'll post that. Yeah, I'll post a link to it in the thread on the forums for this episode. I don't remember exactly how I found that earlier today, but it's somebody who lives in one of the condo buildings right next to the ACC, and they had a camera set up on their balcony looking down at the crowd, and it's a film of the last 3 minutes of that overtime period.
They were
cheering. Oh, whenever the play was going down into the Boston, and the cheer would go up, and then it would get quiet, and then the cheer would go up, and then it would get quiet. And as soon as that overtime goal was scored, it was like ants running away from you know, a piece of fruit because some predator just came close to them. They were just scattering. It was wild to watch. They, oh, score. And they just started pouring out of the square.
Now, my opinion of that is they were probably a little bit worried that it would get out of control.
Well, I would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, unlike the finals, because was it when Ottawa made it to the finals in 07? 07, yes. Was it?
07.
Because I went to City Hall to watch the game. And this is consistent with first, I think it was Edmonton, then Calgary that made it to the finals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Edmonton was just on fire for 2 weeks. Ottawa being Ottawa, everyone's going to take the bus, go home.
Yeah, but then also, yeah, we don't have trouble like that. We don't set the city on fire like Vancouver or Montreal or.
Yeah.
Like, so. We're actually, you know, we're not hooligans.
Don Cherry again was talking about, this was before the game, I think, just saying how classy Toronto was for not causing any hell. I don't think he knew that they destroyed that taxi cab.
Yeah. Pretty much. And of note, and this was only brought up, I think, well, the other day, I didn't notice it. I didn't hear it game night. It was only brought up like after the game when people were sort of dissecting it to death. The Bruins were already short Ferentz. He was a scratch. And Redden, who had played in a number of the first games of the series, was also a scratch due to injury. And Seidenberg played two shifts, total of 37 seconds of ice time. And he was a scratch. So they were down to five defensemen by the time the game was 4 minutes old. So they played that entire game and overtime with five defensemen.
That's Ottawa typical.
And two of them were complete rookies. Like, more of a rookie than Greiba, because Greiba's at least played most of the season.
Oh, so like Weirkosh and Benoit?
Well, they've been at least around. You're getting the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that just makes that win a little more impressive, at least to me.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, it's been
Rask is greater than Reimer, that's all.
Full credit to Boston for coming back after being down like that, but I'm very glad they did. They're not my mistress team, but I certainly cheered for Boston that night.
And as far as Toronto goes,
no refunds, suckers. And should we start a pool as to how much the season tickets are going up next year?
In Toronto?
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
Over under?
50%?
Well, no.
I was going to say about 8. I'd put my over under.
I don't know how much they increase them every year, but
lots, because they can.
Well, the individual, it's people that don't buy them. It's companies that do.
Well, they learned from this. They learned. So that means next year they should make it to at least the end of round 2.
That was part of my rising, too. Is just like, listen, it's like, okay, you've gotten the experience now. You're going to the playoffs. But the nice thing is you get to draft early. You still have the pick, right?
Well, what's where are they going to pick?
Well, they'll probably be like
their nose.
16. Yeah, 15, 16, which will be a good pick. If
this draft, yeah.
Well,
if they have anybody who can actually scout for them,
they could trade that for Luongo.
I've said it before, though. Dave Nonis is a good GM.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Yeah.
He certainly, well, we'll talk about GMs.
I don't even think they have any scouts and just save money on it. But. Oh, no.
We'll see. Anyway, that was an epic collapse, which will be the source of great mockery for.
Oh, that's awesome.
Time.
That's
time
worth for them to make the playoffs after 9 years, just to watch it all fizzle away.
Just to set the greatest Game 7 third period collapse in the history of the NHL. Congratulations, you made it. You set two records. Well, you broke one record, and you set another one. So that's impressive. Well done. Well done. I didn't hear about this at the time. I only heard about it a couple of days later, and this is all stuff that's coming out of the first round of the playoffs. Ovechkin's accusation that Game 6 was fixed so that there would be a Game 7 because, well, there was a lockout and there's escrow and everybody needs to make their money.
Yeah,
I'd be tempted to snappy him, but I think as someone pointed out, think back to last year, we were up 3-2 on the Rangers. Game 6 here in Ottawa, and it seemed like the referees were calling it a certain way. I got that 5-1-3 given to New York, and that just, that was the game.
There's
a lot of parallels.
Well, as opposed to some of the things that went in the first round of our series with Montreal.
Yeah.
I point to the 2-game suspension for Eric Greiba. This is exactly one.
Yeah, whatever. Greiba is a non-factor in the whole thing anyway.
No, but it's the principle of it.
No, like, I know.
That just, it was just demonstrative of it.
Ottawa's like that we have other pieces that have the same level of skill.
Absolutely. It's the principle of it.
Yeah. If that was Kellen or Phillips. Actually, you know what? If it was Chris Phillips, I don't think anything would have happened.
All the more reason that it shouldn't have happened in the first place then.
I know.
But he didn't get, Ovechkin didn't get fined. I'm a little surprised.
I think he said it on a Russian network too.
Well, he said it in Russian and it got translated, yeah. Maybe that's how he got away with it. Oh, it was a mistranslation. They misquoted me. Good point.
I said I wanted to fix them dinner. You know.
The other thing about that, if you have a game 7 that's, or a game 6 that's fixed, can't speak tonight. Ted Leonsis is one that really benefits.
Well,
it's like, hey, I get to sell another game.
Yeah.
And pay these guys scale.
I do feel bad for Washington. The fans there deserve a little better.
Yeah.
But when I look at that team, it's just, Ottawa has been here before. So I sympathize. It's just one of these teams where if things don't go their way, things aren't going to go their way. You know, if they get down early, it's almost like, oh, well, this is what we're used to. I guess we're losing this game now. It's just, you know, Ottawa used to be like this. Like everything had to be perfect in order to win. And now they get this little pesky attitude and it's nice. It's refreshing. So Washington has to learn that.
Yeah, but whatever. They had a terrible year. They just got in because of a default rule.
Well, yeah. That, and they did go on a tear at the end, though, but they had a terrible start, and, you know.
They went on a tear because they were playing their own division, which is brutal.
Yeah, none of the rest of their division was ever even close to making the playoffs.
Yeah, I think Winnipeg, but even
well, that's true, yeah.
Still. Is
anyway, the rest of it wasn't.
They're going to get killed next year.
Now, we have the decision today. We were going to get in on this one.
Okay.
From the game, was it yesterday or 2 days ago? The Torres hit on Stoll. That was 2 days ago. Yeah. Anyways, the hearing was today, and it was an in-person hearing.
Okay. Were you able to rip it?
Yeah, I got it. Do you want to hear it?
Okay. Yeah, please.
Here we go. Oh, sorry, wrong clip.
You sure?
Tuesday night in Los Angeles, San Jose forward Rafi Torres delivered an illegal check to the head of Kings forward Jared Stoll. As the video shows, Torres approaches from the high slot as Stoll, heading up ice, tries to play a bouncing puck. Rather than hit Stoll through the core of his body, Torres takes a route that makes Stoll's head the principal point of contact. Although we'd agree that Torres might make initial contact with Stoll's shoulder, that is a glancing blow. In fact, the head is the principal point of contact. As the illegal check to the head penalty states, a hit resulting in contact with an opponent's head where the head is targeted and the principal point of contact is not permitted. Torres neither leaps nor uses his elbow in delivering this hit. However, if he chooses to attempt a hit such as this, Torres must take a route that ensures that he hits through the core of the body and does not make the head the principal point of contact. While Torres might make initial contact with Stoll's shoulder, the reactions of both players' bodies make clear that this contact was at most a glancing blow. Given Torres' size and speed, had he made principal contact with Stoll's right shoulder, Stoll would have been driven back toward the boards in the direction of his teammate, number 74, Dwight King, rather than spinning as he does. What's more, there would be a greater reaction to impact from Torres himself. Instead, he slides through this hit, which is characteristic of many illegal checks to the head we see. It's important to note that although he is bent over throughout this play, Stoll does not change the position of his head significantly, either just prior to or simultaneous with the hit. To summarize, this was an illegal check to the head. Stoll was injured as a result of this hit and did not return to the game. Torres has been suspended 3 times and fined 3 times during his NHL career and is considered a repeat offender under the collective bargaining agreement. The Department of Player Safety has suspended Rafi Torres for the remainder of the second round of the playoffs.
Who wants to go first on this one?
Okay, I know we don't have a lot of content, so why don't we just throw in a whole bunch of filler? Right?
I was going to say, every sound clip that's on that board, you have at one point or another.
Canuck, you first.
I didn't see the hit live. So I just saw actually this video once before the recording. So my context on this is pretty poor. I was more interested in the fact that what
you Chen were more interested in just cutting in Trogdor.
Oh, that too. But just the way Shanahan was describing some of that stuff is, you know, I don't know. Sound like he was taking a pleasant glee in handing this one out.
Okay. Cards?
I think it was a pathetic, cowardly move by the NHL to avoid doing anything serious about a repeat offender. I don't think that hit was... I think it was a hit worth a couple of games. Because there was contact to the head, the player was injured. And, you know, saying it's for the rest of this series, however long this series is a chicken way of saying he can't play anymore, maybe for the rest of this season, but we're not going to give it a specific number so that we don't have to worry about an appeal going outside of our realm of control.
That was interesting. The fact that it's not a set number of games, the end of the series. Because what is it, if it's 5, they have to go outside?
They can't appeal because there's 6 games left that came out today.
Yeah. So but let's keep in mind that as Shanny said, he's been fined 3 times and he's been suspended 3 times. The last of which was 25 games, which was then reduced to 21, 13 in the playoffs last year, 8 in the regular season this year. And that 21 games didn't affect him, didn't change his style of play, didn't stop him from doing what he's doing. And what does the NHL do when he does it again? Well, we don't want to go out of our realm of control, so it's only going to be the rest of the series. That's it.
That's a disgrace! That's a disgrace! What a joke!
Exactly. It is a joke, and it is a disgrace, because if he got 25 last time and he's still doing it, what does he care about this? He sits out the rest of the series and goes... Well, I guess that means the collective agreement is really on my side now, because I can do whatever I want. They'll never give me more than 6 games because they don't want to go to the arbitration process or to the appeals process. So I've got a clearance to do whatever I want from now on. The maximum I'll lose is 5 games worth of salary. It's absolutely pathetic.
Sounds like open season now.
Exactly. Well, it is. It's open season. He can do whatever he wants. He loses 5 games worth of salary. And his player association.
Well, it's scale salary too, though.
But it's the players association will back him up when he's injuring other members of the players association.
That's one thing I've never understood.
They all pay the same dues to the same organization, and they're going to back up the offender, not back up the victim.
Yeah, the players who got hurt should be allowed to file a grievance.
Exactly.
Like if you're in a shop and one member is being abusive, you don't wait for management to do these, like to other employees, right? You don't wait for management to do something. You can grieve it on your own. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why that doesn't come in. But my opinion on this play, on the hit, hockey play.
You think?
Yep.
Well, it wasn't a baseball play.
If it was any...
That's the dumbest
thing. There you go. You just want to use the sound bites.
That's what you throw your back at.
Yeah, I know.
Nice.
I actually had to brace myself. If it was anybody else that hit that, that threw that hit, nothing. And the part that really confuses me is the primary point of contact is the head, even though it was the shoulder.
We saw that with the Graiba hit as well. It's they'll decide
because when Shanahan presented it, he said the primary point of contact was the head. Kerry Fraser said it was the hip. But they found the one angle that looked like it was head first.
Oh. Yes, by ignoring the other ones that said otherwise.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
They've never done that before. That.
Yeah. That's selective memory, or you know, that's choosing the reality that best suits my opinion rather than the reality that actually reflects the whole of the rest of the world.
It was a shoulder to shoulder hit, and because of Stoll's angle, he ended up spinning, which ended up hitting his head. It didn't look, it's nothing compared to the Hossa hit.
Nope.
How is Stoll, by the way?
He's out tonight.
He's hurt.
So he was out for the game. And so he's out for at least two games. But regardless, so I think it's a hockey hit, but when you're looking at the penalty or the suspension, you've now created this new variable.
Well, the injury, Shanny even said, an injury resulted from the play, and that was key to the suspension.
Holy crap, guys. You're looking at the scoreboard.
I saw that there was an overtime. I haven't looked at it since then.
We're missing some good hockey.
I know.
See what we do to bring you guys an episode?
Even more important, the potential LCBO strike has been averted.
Oh.
just
because
in time
it's
for
the
Victoria Day weekend.
Declared an essential service.
You guys stocked up before then, didn't you?
I'm going fishing in Quebec. What do I care? Yeah, I was
thinking anyone in Ottawa doesn't have to worry too much.
Exactly. LCBO goes on strike? Okay.
SAQ?
That's the SAQ. I can get beer over there. I can get wine over there. Everything's fine.
Where was it? Yeah, so it's a new variable in regards to the series. Now, let's say, who won last night or that game? Who's leading this? LA. So let's say if LA sweeps, it's a 3-game suspension.
Yep.
Jarrett Stoll with, I would assume, what's a concussion is out for 2 weeks. So he's going to miss half of the next round.
Well, it depends on when the next round starts. If some of the other series go 7 games.
Right, but that's a risk with it too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Torres gets 3 games while you're missing a good defensive player for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Dumb.
I'm not saying it's right.
Oh, Marchand overtime winner. There you go.
Yeah.
The little guy does it again.
Wow. Now, do you want to...
I hear he's nice off the ice.
Well, rumor has it. Do you think... we had an email come in this week that I think might fit in this topic, because it's all about hits and suspensions and that sort of thing. Do you want to throw that email in here now? Or do you want to say...
Three little ducks go into a bar?
No. That's the one. I got it. Let me read it.
Yeah.
Email.
Email.
I always think it's funny that we have paper for email. It's from Russell. The Russell. Hey, teabaggers. Heard an interesting comment on the radio today. Thought it would be a good topic. This is the right one, right? Yep.
Yes.
Last night, CBC showed Cook throwing another hit, I believe on EK65 again. It's Eric Carlson. In the same manner that injured him before, foot off the ice. So this apparently is how he hits all the time. The injury was likely an accident, reckless, careless, but an accident. But what if it happens again to anyone? If he continues to hit like this and he cuts someone else, accident or not, is it acceptable to pass it off as yet another accident? Or does this become a suspendable act? It may never happen again, but obviously the possibility is there for it every time he does it. How many people would need to be cut before it becomes unacceptable? And go. Russell.
And your opinion? You read it. You get to go first.
Huh. you know, my lack of just jumping on this is just, I've accepted that this league, when it comes to refereeing and supplemental discipline, is a complete joke. So I don't even know what to expect anymore.
It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace.
It's typical.
NHL typical. There you go. There's the new sound clip we need.
Someone
NHL
is going to die on the ice before anything serious takes, in terms of action, takes place. And even then, I wonder, they'll just say it's a hockey play.
Well, I think the word that that stuck out in this particular email, which was used around the time of the Cook slicing of Erik Karlsson, was reckless. It may have been an accident. I mean, I don't think it was deliberate.
The underlying result was an accident. But the way that Cook was hitting him, he was trying deliberate. To knee him to Charlie horse him.
Yeah, it's deliberate and it's reckless. Yeah.
Okay.
So the result?
Just to scare him. So it's not that that's how Cook hits all the time. He just did it again to be a dick. Oh, a second, I'm going to say that, sorry.
And he's being reckless. He's being careless. It could result in an injury. And it did result in an injury, but it wasn't a suspendable injury for some peculiar reason. Maybe because he didn't bleed. I don't know.
Let's take a look at the high sticking rule. If I hit you in the head with my stick, I get penalized for high sticking. If I carelessly, accidentally hit you with my high stick, even if I didn't mean to, it's high sticking. You're responsible for your stick. Well, use the same damn rule and apply it to everything else. I didn't mean to trip you. Sorry, but it's tripping. I didn't mean to hit you with my skate, but I need to be careful with my skates. So it's a penalty, or there's discipline, you know.
I didn't mean to hit you in the head, but I hit you in the head. Oh, well, you know what? He was injured, so you're going to be sitting a few games. But
I know you didn't mean to, but hey, that's the rules.
I agree.
Next time, be more careful. You're responsible.
But not for
but
the
that would make too much sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the unfortunate part is, it, you know, this is where we're getting to is, oh, that would make sense. Can't do it. Let's move on. And
as I've been told, I think the referee should be replaced with a bunch of like stay-at-home moms or kindergarten moms or something like that. And they could probably do a better job than the refs do. And
I still don't see how Shanahan, a former, well, let's say fringe, not necessarily dirty.
Gritty
player. Yep, good word. Is in charge of this. And I know you guys have disagreed with this in the past because some referees are biased. But shouldn't a referee know the rules of the game better than anyone? And can't a former referee or the referee supervisor, someone who was a referee supervisor, not be this role? Because you could, and back in the day, this is going back a couple CBAs, they were allowed to fine players right on the ice. They would give match penalties, which is an automatic one-game suspension, and throughout fines. Can these guys not do it?
Did they give you change? You know, well, here's 1,000, 2,000, and 2 year change.
I think there are two reasons for that. One, Brendan Shanahan is a far better known name than any referee ever would be. And other than a name of a referee that would be known for infamy rather than fame. Because the only referees you ever remember are the ones you despise. And number two, well, I mean,
Magoo.
Okay. Name your favorite referee.
The guy that would be best for the role, Don Van Massenhoven.
Good name.
There you
go. He's kind of a modern day Bruce Hood. Yeah, okay.
That's a problem.
Andy Van Helleman kind of guy.
Yeah.
What about Kelly Frazier there? That non-call high stick Gretzky on Gilmore.
No, well, that's on the ice, though. You don't have the time to review it. So
no, but what I'm saying
that is what it is. It's when they screw the pooch on these suspensions. Or
yeah.
Wojciech Wolski is a nice guy because I know him personally. Come on.
But he's a known name, and he's supposed to carry the semblance of credibility because he's a hockey player and he's a well-known guy and he was, you know, he's a Hall of Fame hockey player. So he's well, he's a brand who can get away from the anger and disgust and, you know, contempt for the Office of Player Safety that was Colin Campbell. Because when Colin Campbell was there, everybody hated the decisions. Everybody hated how the work was being done. We're going to bring in somebody new. He's a man's man.
They didn't have any stable rules.
Well, but they're trying to...
Do you think now after, because Shanahan, when he started, was doing a great job because he was throwing everyone out?
Exactly. And then he got told he couldn't do it anymore.
Right. So there's an inconsistency in the rules. Now, I don't watch any other sports, but who throws out supplemental discipline in the other major sports?
Usually the commissioner.
Why the hell aren't they doing that?
Because Gary Bettman is despised and would have no credibility doing it. Because
he's the deputy guy do it. I can't remember his name right now.
Oh, John Daly.
Bill Daly.
Sorry. John Daly's the golfer. My bad. Yeah.
Freaking get him to do it. He'll probably do a better job.
It'd be a lot more boring, too.
The thing is, you need to set... Oh, jeez.
And the number of games suspended for Rafi Torres is...
We'll open the envelope.
3 to 6 games.
Yeah. Honestly, it's like a friggin' spinning wheel.
Yeah. But that's not Shanahan's fault.
Why don't we do that? Why don't they have that monkey come out, spin the wheel for the suspension? Yeah,
the wheel of suspension?
2 games. Hockey play.
The player has to spin it themselves, just like on the Showcase Showdown on the Price is Right.
Big money. You know.
And okay, I think we've talked this one to death.
Siri suspension.
Cross another one off your list there.
Yeah. Getting there. We're going to run out of sound clips soon. We better move it. I didn't use that word. Anyway, I think we've talked enough about this one. Thanks for the email, Russell. That was a good topic. NHL award finalists, a lot of them have been announced. And there were a couple I wanted to chime in specific.
Yes, please. Yep.
I got the list. Which one do you want to start with?
Just go down the list you've got.
Okay, so Calder.
Crosby. Yeah.
Well, I don't think he's a rookie anymore, so he might be disqualified. But okay, we'll put his name in there. The finalists for the Calder are Gallagher, Saad, and Huberdeau. I would vote for Jonathan Huberdeau myself. I think he's had the best overall body of work to show.
That's what she said.
Yeah, apparently. That's my vote, at least. What do you guys think?
I go for Crosby.
All right.
Okay. Brandon Saad's actually been impressive. We just don't watch Chicago because it was West, and West really didn't matter this year.
Nice.
It honestly didn't matter to us at all.
Well, we didn't have time for it to matter. There's too much hockey going on in the East.
They play each other, right? So yeah. It was a separate league completely.
Yeah.
I still barely care about the West.
I think he's been
very impressive too.
Yeah.
Gallagher, I hate.
I still give him credit for being a pretty good rookie, but I think Huberdeau carries it overall. I think I would actually put it as Huberdeau, Saad, and Gallagher in that order.
No.
But that's just me.
It's probably how it's going to end up.
Yeah. So,
next.
Vezina.
He can't do that.
All right, get off your Crosby horse. Could you contribute something, please?
It's too bad Anderson wasn't considered for the Vezina.
Yeah.
Not enough games,
unfortunately.
And who makes up that rule?
No, it wasn't enough games.
No. He only played, 25, 26?
Something like that.
So barely over half. So.
Oh.
No, but look, okay, so the names
are, Lundqvist, Bobrovsky, and Niemi.
Yeah.
This is a hard one for me. This is a really hard one for me.
Lundqvist, he's the only reason they're in the playoffs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hands down. I would say best goalie in the world right now.
He's certainly up there. I was going to say all three of them. My problem is all three of them have had absolutely outstanding seasons for their respective teams.
But give it to Lundqvist.
Yeah, I think Lundqvist will probably win it.
Is the other two? Well, Niemi, once again, don't really know. Bob was just a surge at the end.
Yeah. Right. Norris. This is one that near to dear to our hearts, of course. The nominees are Chris Letang, Ryan Suter, and PK Subban. Okay, Canucks vote is for PK Subban.
No, he just wanted the sound clip.
Oh, okay.
Screw all these guys. Matt Cook absolutely stole this away.
Except he's a forward. Oh, okay. Where's that sad trombone? He stole it away. Yeah. Okay. Where's that sad trombone?
Oh. It's unbelievable as to how Carlson's balance.
Thank you.
I hope you're just taking all these and throwing them into the trash can after you're done with them.
Exactly.
Anyways. So I'm hoping, is it Suter or Sutter? I can never get it right.
It's Suter.
Suter? Yeah. I hope he gets it because Subban, to hell with that. And Letang, they're not a good defensive team.
No, he's, well, yeah.
I think he's done well on points, but it's not only about points, right?
Exactly. And I think that looking at Erik Karlsson's season last year, he was much better defensively last year than Letang is defensively this year.
Well, remember, too, that the Norris Trophy is the one unique trophy where you look at the entire career.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. So it should go to...
Suter.
Suter.
Hands down.
I was going to say Paul Coffey, but anyway.
Just give it to Coffey.
Now, this is where things are going to get interesting. I'm going to change the order that I have them written down in specifically. The next one I want to talk about is the Hart Trophy, which we've talked about before. Which is the most valuable player to their team?
Oh, you skipped Ted Lindsay. So don't,
yes, I'm going to come back to that one because the Hart Trophy is the most valuable player to their team. Not the most valuable player, period, but the most valuable player to their team. Crosby, Ovechkin, Tavares.
Tavares, hands down.
He gets my vote because the other two, their teams.
Crosby is out for a lot.
Yep.
Crosby, their team does just fine without him.
Yep.
Ovi.
You think?
He lit it up. They made the playoffs because of it.
He deserves to be considered.
He deserves that because he was the most valuable player to his team.
But Tavares did that to New York Islanders too.
And he did it all season, not just in part of the season. He was the reason that the team actually made it to the playoffs and hung around in the area rather than coming surging on.
Didn't the team do well overall anyways? Because they've got some pretty good guys with Molson and Okposo. And
he's the stick that stirs the drink. That's right.
Well, you know, at that point, they'll probably look at the division.
Yeah. Well,
and hopefully give it to Tavares because I don't really like Ovi's attitude right now. But
yeah,
Crosby, true. They won without him.
Yeah.
And they've been winning without him for years.
You see, the Ted Lindsay, which is the one voted by the players as the most valuable player, I see Crosby winning that one.
Yeah. So you got Crosby, Ovi, and St. Louis?
Crosby, Ovi, and St. Louis. I see Crosby winning that one. St. Louis. Tremendous talent scoring goals this year. I mean, especially at his age. But I think that Crosby will win the Ted Lindsay this year.
Well, this one's voted by players.
Yeah.
St. Louis.
You think?
Yeah. They don't want to hear about Crosby anymore.
Is there an issue, Papa?
Okay, that's a strong take. That's good. That's very possible, too. That they would vote for St. Louis because he's been around for so long and, you know, done it for so long.
And led the league.
And led the league, yep. A couple of times.
And I don't think that's MVP for your team. That's MVP of the league.
Of the league, that's right. The most valuable team player, period.
Who got the most points? Most points or who got the Rock Richard?
St. Louis got the Rock Richard.
Why the hell is Anderson not in this again? Oh, the whole games played?
Probably. I don't think they...
Although we relied on Bishop and Leonard, too, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, GM of the year. This is the one that really had me scratching my head. Mark Bergevin of Montreal, Ray Shearer of Pittsburgh, and Bob Murray of San Jose.
It's only one guy I'd give consideration there.
The only one I would give consideration to is Bob Murray.
Really?
Yep.
I would say Ray Shearer because he's managed to... Well, see, no, you know what? This isn't the GM. This isn't the GM.
Shearer's going to win it because he did the best job of buying players and not giving up anything.
He won a friggin' lottery. And now everybody wants to go play there.
He did make some great plays, some great pickups at the deadline. I'll give you that. Mark Bergevin, I don't understand.
That's because everybody wanted to go there.
Yeah, well, he's got a team that everybody wants to go to so he can negotiate. Yeah, but Bergevin, I don't think, belongs there because what did Bergevin do?
He brought them from 25th to Division League.
He didn't. No, sorry.
You're saying it's Markov. But
it's Markov who did that. He hired a coach that seems to be doing better than the hodgepodge of coaching that they had last year.
But he can speak French.
And who can speak French.
Barely English.
But that's all he did. I just don't see him as being the key to...
Be respectful.
Respect? Yeah, okay.
I didn't say it that way.
Bob Murray managed to give away players at the trade deadline.
And
then did better afterwards. So he was able to use the trade deadline to prune away the stuff that he didn't want, get stuff in return for it, and make his team better by cutting out the parts that were bad. That's why I think he gets the vote. But I'm pretty sure you're right. It's going to go to Ratio because he picked up so much veteran talent, which is, hey, good move. Seems to be paying off so far. Yeah. See how far
Pittsburgh Penguins are the freaking Miami Heat of the NHL right now.
Well, no, the only thing is that they can only do it this year.
Yeah, I was going to say next year they're screwed with the salary cap.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
But they're not going to be screwed in the other way like Philadelphia and Vancouver. These guys are just all UFAs.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're going to be shedding an awful lot of members of that. Well, they'll be shedding those because they're UFAs, but afterwards they're not going to have space to pick up more of them come the trade deadline next year.
I'll tell you.
They'll be up against the cap.
Let's see if I can find it real quick. But yeah, they'll be up against the cap, but they're going to, this isn't working. But they're going to save themselves a lot of. I'm spelling cap geek like a hockey insider here. One P. Come on, banter. Anyways, yeah, they're going to save themselves a lot of space and roughly about, they've got $66,000 on the cap this year.
Yeah, they have 56, they have 18 players signed for next year at $56.4
million. Well, I'm going to cut $5 million right off there anyway.
See, they're doing fine. They're freaking Miami Heat.
Gone.
Is they going to buy him out?
You can move him.
The experiment seems to be over.
Nah, there wasn't an experiment. I can play goal in Pittsburgh and do okay.
I think the only criteria, that's true. Pittsburgh is a run and gun thing. But the only criteria for playing in Pittsburgh is you have to have a nickname that Crosby can call you. You notice that? Like, Cookie or, Volsky or, everybody's got a nickname. Usually ends in IE.
Or why?
Bortuzoe?
Bortuzoe.
Letangy. Chrissy.
No, it's Chrissy from Three's Company. Anyway, there's one more I wanted to touch on briefly, which this is the one that seems to... What?
I can't wait for this one.
The Lady Bing?
Yep.
Sportsmanship and Gentlemanly Conduct, and it's the nominees are Patrick Kane, Matt Molson, and Marty St. Louis.
Not Mac
Patrick
Book?
Kane, congratulations on not beating up a cab driver this year.
Well, yeah, those three. It was Dean Brown made an interesting point this afternoon on Twitter, and it's that this looking at how this trophy is awarded, a lot of the emphasis goes on, the number of penalty minutes they took, because that's how they show gentlemanly conduct and sportsmanship is not taking a lot of penalties.
Well, please tell me that you wrote these down because I'm trying to look it up.
The question was, how is Kyle Wellwood not on this list? He had one minor penalty this season. One.
Yeah, but he gets 4 minutes of ice time.
In three of the last seven seasons, he's had zero penalty minutes.
Because he plays 3 minutes of ice time.
But he still doesn't get penalty minutes. Makes him a gentleman.
This has never been looked at. Daniel Alfredson.
Mm-hmm.
This year has 33 PIMs. He got 15 against Ronaldo.
Yeah, but that one year he shot the puck at Niedermeyer. He's a classless clown. He wears a headband.
How has he never gotten consideration?
Well, he threw that stick into the, you know.
Last year, 75 games, 18 PIMs.
But last year, he won the, what was the trophy he won last year? Community building one.
Whatever.
Can't think of what it is. Masterton? Is that the right one? Anyway.
Yeah. And how is Datsuk not there? Datsuk's always a guy. Yeah, so 18 minutes. Year before that, the year of hell, 54 games, 18 minutes. 09-10, 22 minutes and 70 games.
Well, who's to say? I'm not arguing with you, by the way. I think you're right. I think it's a very good question why he's never been considered for it, but maybe he's not considered the gentlemanly player type. He's the leadership player type. Not the gentleman.
It's just not the sexy vote.
Yeah.
Patrick Kane?
He's cleaned himself up.
Doesn't wear a headband.
It's going to be Matt Cook or Patrick Coletta next year.
Oh, you know. Oh, God.
Well, Matt Cook's a gentleman. Look at how his PIMs have gone down.
Well, hey, you've got to listen to the league too, right? If you think that it's got about the most gentleman you play and they're not going to be intimidating anything like that, just put in Kessel's name.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. We got a special guest tonight. I didn't even tell you guys about this.
No, you didn't.
No.
We don't.
You may recall a listener from Toronto. I didn't tell you about this, did I?
Nope. I have no
idea. That's why there's silence, because we have no idea what you're talking about.
We've got about four or five major contributors from Toronto.
Hey, well, that's true. It's Sistine. We got him on the line here.
Sistine!
Just one second here. Sistine, you there? I understand you have something you want to say. And he just hung up.
You just were trying to find a way to use that sound clip again, weren't you?
You really pissed him off, didn't you? Oh, man.
I think we lost him.
Going to be angrier than TJ.
I think we lost him a long time ago.
By the way, that pregnant pause, I was trying to remember the guy's name.
He does and tweet some nice pictures. And, yeah. 11-11, make a wish. Oh, it's 12 now, never mind.
Well, Sistine, if you'd like to comment on that particular comedy clip, podcast at sendscallups.com. Anything you guys really want to talk about with the current playoff matchups? I don't really have much to say. They're just getting started.
I think it's going to matter to us for much longer.
Easy now. One game?
No.
You're such a grumpy Gus. You're such a negative Nelly. Mm. You're always with the negative waves, Moriarty.
Pittsburgh in six.
Okay, you heard it.
And I'm liberal with the six.
Thank you for cutting off the snappy. You're snappy the snappy. I appreciate
it. I think he realized that he agrees with me.
I think it's interesting that there are four original six teams that are playing. I think that's pretty cool that Boston, yep, or Chicago and Detroit. That's cool. And then you have two recently added teams in Ottawa and San Jose.
Expansion cousins too.
Yeah, not the same year, but close to it.
Same group.
Well, yeah. And then LA and Pittsburgh, who were, well, one was a Pittsburgh was one of the early expansion teams. I have to admit, I don't remember when the LA Kings joined the league.
I think it was the same time. That was the explosion.
67?
The year they traded for Gretzky, that's when they joined.
That's not being very nice to Marcel Dion.
And just watching Chicago-Detroit go at it one last time, too.
Yeah. Now, the next time they meet, it would be in a Stanley Cup final. So it's a good series.
Yep.
We'll see how it goes. The one I'm interested in, the San Jose versus LA Kings, because there are two former Ottawa 67s line mates playing in that series. Logan Couture versus Tyler Toffoli. And they played together a lot for a couple of years here. So
when you look at these teams like Pittsburgh, Ottawa, Boston, New York, Chicago, Detroit, San Jose, LA, Ottawa really doesn't fit into that.
We're an awfully small market compared to
that. Yeah, I know.
I mean, the other, I mean, some of them are national versus regional markets, but we're a really regional market.
Yeah.
Thank you, CBC, for not broadcasting us to ensure that we stay a very regional market. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, didn't you hear? Toronto's throwing their whole support behind Pittsburgh.
Of course they are.
Of course they were.
Yeah.
If we make it through this round, I think we're good.
Have you already said
that's Boston wins. Granted, then if we get the Rangers again and Healy's working, then it's going to be the same thing as last. We're screwed.
Oh, if we got the Rangers again, I'm totally into that. That'd be awesome. It'd be great. I'd very much enjoy that series.
Also, because we can't beat Boston.
I'd prefer to face New York than Boston. Yeah. Mostly because I respect Boston as a hockey franchise, but I don't like fans in Boston. I don't like Patriots fans. I don't like Red Sox fans. I don't like a lot of Bruins fans. I know some that are okay, but a lot of them are just really annoying. So shut the sports marketplace of that town down and I'll be just fine.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Hey, you know what's fun?
Uh-oh.
The prediction panel.
I keep forgetting to do that. It just doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah, it gets updated a lot, doesn't it?
Are you taking a stab at somebody there? Taking a shot at them?
Hey, I'm perfect right now in the playoffs.
Oh. Well, we can fix that.
I hope so. I did say Pittsburgh in the six.
So please pick Ottawa tomorrow night.
Tomorrow I'm picking Ottawa.
Thank you.
Okay, there we go.
Then it's all on Spezza.
Oh, no pressure there. That's good.
Oh, it's what? Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Okay, God.
Okay.
It's kind of catchy.
It was.
You're gonna drop so many followers. I honestly just want to see Spezza fit into this lineup because my hopes are low on this series right now. So I just want to see him play with these guys and see what we've got.
I think it'll be entertaining. Yep. For sure.
Hey, you did stop updating this.
I've been busy starting a new job this week. Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
And then I try to go to ascendsunderground.com and it gets blocked.
Yeah.
Apparently it's a gaming site.
That's great. Yeah, it's probably all the ads that they've got.
Because you got to quit.
Oh, well.
I like that.
I got nothing else to talk about. You guys have anything else to talk about?
I didn't have anything to talk about from the start. I can't believe we've gone this long.
Well, perfect. Then let's wrap it up.
Hey, I think I'm all out of clips too.
Excellent. That's the perfect thing to talk to end on then.
Take back.
We're going way back?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Are we playing the Habs again? Okay. The coming week, we have game 2 tomorrow, Friday, May 17th. In Pittsburgh, game 3 on Sunday, May 19th, the Penguins are here. And next Wednesday, May 22nd, the Penguins are here. So by then, the Senators will be up 3-1.
Hopefully, we'll be doing an emergency episode on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, exactly.
Wait for me to come back again, but whatever.
Oh, God. No, we're just going to call you up in your car. Get somebody else to drive, and we'll call you in the car.
I'm going to be in Halifax on Wednesday.
Are you serious?
Well, I could still.
Yeah.
Might be able to call in. To the studio.
Everybody call into the studio.
Yeah, okay.
Somehow.
I'll go away somewhere and stay fishing or something. Send it in by carrier pigeon.
You never stay home, do you?
Fly from the helicopter.
All right. Well, we've managed to fill a lot of time with sound clips and so on, but hopefully we've said something that might spark somebody to give us a note. We got lots of email last week, only one this week. Thank you again, Russell. But always welcome. Email us at podcast@sendscallups.com. Be sure to join in the fun in the Sens Underground forums. I unfortunately won't be there for the next few games. I missed the last one. There's only so much I can follow at one time, and trying to follow the forums and the game and Twitter just gets
especially when I use the wrong account.
Especially when Pan starts posting things in our account rather than his. Yeah, that makes it entertaining, though. I'll give you that.
Well, that wasn't the reaction that you gave me at the time.
That's true. Well, in hindsight, my reaction at the time was correct. I've just mellowed it since then. That's okay. So yeah, there's lots going on Twitter as well. So
except when Pan tweets something, it's not very popular.
Easy. Wow, that's a shot.
No, I dropped out my wire. Sorry. You good?
Well, give us a follow on Twitter. Lots of stuff going on there. There's certainly lots of Sens fans around on Twitter these days, which keeps the games entertaining as well. Until next week, when none of us know where we'll be, but we'll try and get together at some point and put another show together. Go Sens, go, and good night.
Time to get pesky.
La 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 la